But I think the key ingredient is communication. We are quite good at communicating with each other, and we're like, you know, putting boundaries when we have to. And one little piece that we do is we do a retrospective.
My name is Esprit Devora, host of the Women in Tech Show. The show means a lot to me. The reason why I wanted to create the Women in Tech Show is I wanted to create a positive piece of content, something where people can listen and say, if she can do it, so can I. I call it actionable empowerment. Every single episode, you'll hear the story of a fantastic woman in tech, from engineers to founders to investors to journalists to designers, all sorts of different females in tech who have thrived. I want to share their stories with you so that you can know what resources, mentors, and life situations they accessed in order to get to where they are today. Enjoy.
Welcome back to the Women in Tech Podcast. I'm here in Christchurch, New Zealand with a phenomenal entrepreneur from Wellington. Hello, Natty.
Hello, how's it going?
So go ahead and introduce yourself to everybody and let them know who you are.
Okay, great. I'm Natalia Lombardo. Everyone calls me Natty, though, and I work at Lumio.org. I'm a member of the cooperative because we are a worker-owned cooperative and also a social enterprise. And what we do is we build technology for groups that want to communicate better together and that they want to make decisions together.
And now, is this your company or it's a collective coming together?
Yeah, this is a collective coming together. So at the moment, we have around 10 members and it fluctuates a little bit on the membership, but around that number.
And what does that mean? Can you describe for us more, like, what's the purpose of the collective and what does that really mean? What does it look like? How does someone join the collective?
Mm-hmm. So the purpose of the collective is building technology, and Lumio actually has a social mission, and the social mission is to make it possible for everyone everywhere to make decisions that affect their lives. So to be more involved with the decisions that, you know, that affect your life.
And you just did a 4-hour workshop here at the Exchange. What was the workshop about?
So the workshop was about some patterns about how we organize. So because we are a worker co-op and we work without bosses. So we are a decentralized organization. And through the 5 years that went on, and we're also part of this collective network that is called Inspiral. You might have heard that.
I have not heard of it yet.
So that's a different interview. So anyway, the way that we organize is collectively. We all have power and we all make decisions together. So what we share in our workshops is all those lessons that we learn by trying to organize this way. What goes well, what goes wrong, and what are some of the solutions that we can apply.
And you're a major player in revitalizing Christchurch into be a dominant city as well as other areas. And that's why you use the collective for to help rebuild and reformat cities to become stronger, right?
Yeah, so there's a lot of the groups here in Christchurch that use our technology. So our main company is based in Wellington, but we're all over the show. So there's a lot of groups all over the world using Lumio to make decisions together. And there's a lot of groups here in Christchurch doing that to rebuild the city.
And when you say utilizing Lumio, now Lumio isn't a company itself, or it is? Because when you say collective, it means people coming together under this umbrella. What does that really mean?
So Lumio is a company and we make software. We are a cooperative. So in a sense, we are also a collective of people building this company. But Lumio as a platform for decision making and discussions is used by a lot of different collectives around the world.
And what inspired you to create Lumio in the first place?
So Richard, that is my partner in crime and in love, we met at Occupy Wellington. So when the Occupy Wall Street movement moved into New Zealand, and it was a global call for that to happen.
Right.
We all came down to the Civic Square in Wellington. And there we set up camp for around 2 months.
Yeah.
And that's where we met. And also Ben Knight and Hannah Salmon. We were all there trying to make decisions together in a huge circle of people, trying to make consensus with no one in charge. And it was really hard, but it was really inspiring as well. So out of that inspiration is that we came out of that, and mainly Ben and Ridge and Hannah and a bunch of other people that were the founders, they were like, well, why don't we take all of this into the online world? How can we take the best bits of this but also get rid of the bad bits?
Right.
That is, there's always one voice that will know, will speak forever on the circle and you can't get to hear the others. Or there's always those introverts and the really quiet ones that will never raise their hand to speak up in front of everyone else.
Yeah.
So by creating Lumio, the idea was make it more accessible for a lot of the activist communities to have consensus decision making and to hear each other in a different way. And then after it started spreading through the activist movement, suddenly we had requests from government agencies, from schools, from collectives, from companies, from boards, and everyone wanted to use it. And we're like, okay, wow, then there's a lot more than just activists that actually want to do this work. So that's how it spread.
And when did you first fall in love with technology and innovation?
Ooh, okay, that's a tricky story. So when Lumio started, I was one of the activists in the square that I was a little bit skeptic about technology. At that point, I was like, oh, no, you know, like, because just a background, a little bit more background. Before I joined Occupy, before I arrived to New Zealand, I spent 4 years traveling around the world, sitting in a lot of circles, meeting with a lot of communities and collectives that they were trying to organize in a different way, to live together, eco-villages, hippie gatherings, you know. So my idea of technology was like, oh, I don't know, is that thing that is distant from the people side? I'm not sure about it.
Right.
But then I started seeing what these folks were doing, and I was already involved in a way because I was very good friends. I started helping them to translate it because suddenly all these activists in Spain through the Podemos movement were starting to use it, and they needed extra support with Spanish speaker. And I was like, wow, okay, this thing seems pretty good.
Yeah.
And through talking with Rich, that he always been into tech, I was like, well, actually, you're right. Technology has a really good side to it that I haven't seen before.
Yeah.
And it can actually bring people together. So I think that's when I actually started to fall more in love with technology.
It's funny because that's my purpose and why I have my company. My company in Los Angeles is We Are LA Tech. And then I do, of course, women in tech around the world. And the whole idea is helping people to connect online in order to move them offline to form meaningful relationships.
Mm-hmm.
So it's always about the flow of, you know, like technically, I mean, we met offline, but technically we met online because I met someone else online that brought me to the exchange.
Yeah.
And now I met. And so it's about utilizing technology to form IRL relationships.
Yeah, definitely.
And what would you say is one huge obstacle that you've experienced in business that you've successfully overcome, and how did you overcome it?
That's a really tricky one because there's so many of those. I think that it was about understanding the importance of relationships, understanding the importance of building trust, and how, you know, we're all kind of used to a business is this thing, it's work, and it has a structure, and everyone is acting professional, and you don't bring your stuff from home into work because work is this professional environment. So I think for me was mainly understanding that actually those two spaces are not separate, and that who you are as a whole being is what you bring into work.
Yeah.
So understanding the importance of trust and building relationships in the work environment as well to make that a lot more fulfilling place to be.
Do you have any insights for us on how to make it work and having a partner that you also work with?
Uh-huh.
I've met so many successful life partners and co-founders. And then I've met people that have wanted to shy away from that because they didn't want to go down that path. And it's really interesting. I don't think there's a right or wrong. So for you, how does it work?
Well, I think we work really well in general together. Like, we've been traveling all around the world giving these kind of workshops. Last year, we spent 9 months on the road, and that could be quite taxing. But I think the key ingredient is communication.
Yeah.
Like, we are quite good at communicating with each other, and we're like, you know, putting boundaries when we have to, or raising our voice when it's like, look, you know what, right now I need a bit of space.
Right.
And moving away. And one little piece that we do is every time we run a workshop, every 2 weeks, And every time we finish a traveling session, we do a retrospective. That is something that comes from the agile world, the agile management style for technology. So basically, we sit down, we prepare like an hour that we're going to have together.
Right.
And we talk about what was good about what we just did.
I love
and
it.
Let's do more of that. And what was bad about it?
Yeah.
Let's just not repeat it. And what do we need to change in order to feel better doing this job together?
That's awesome. Okay. Thank you so much for hanging out with the Women in Tech podcast. Is there anything else that you want to share before we start to wrap up?
Thank you for interviewing me.
Of course.
One last thing. Maybe just make sure that your tech is enhancing your relationships.
Yeah.
Just make sure of that. And also spend time face to face because that's when the sparkly eyes happen.
100%. How can people get in touch with you?
So you can contact us at contact@lumia.org if you're interested to know more about the platform. And you can contact me directly at nati@theham.org if you want to know more about the workshops and the stuff that we do with organizations.
And can you spell the email?
Yes, it's nati@theham, that is thehum.org.
Perfect. Thank you, Natty. You guys
Thank
be sure
you.
To say hello to Natty and reach out to us on social at Women in Tech Show on Instagram, on Facebook, on Twitter. I will see you guys, talk to you guys, hear you guys in the next episode. Remember, Women in Tech Facebook group. I've been forgetting to talk about it for a while. If you just go to womenintechvip.com, it takes you straight to the Facebook group so you could connect with people around the world.
That's great. I'll join.
All right. Bye.
UpGuard. One of my favorite companies in Mountain View combines asset discovery, security ratings, and vendor questionnaires for the only complete cyber risk solution. Not only do they keep us safe online, they empower women in tech internally. They focus on hiring female engineers to make sure that we rise to the top. So I welcome you to take a look at their job opportunities from Mountain View to New York, New York to Sydney, Australia. They are a company worth exploring. Their mentorship culture is magnetic. Mention the Women in Tech podcast when you apply. Just as they celebrate women in tech, we want to celebrate you too. So make sure to let us know when you've reached out to UpGuard and we'll make sure to feature you on the Women in Tech social channels. We believe in you. UpGuard.com. Visit them for yourself. You'll see exactly what I mean. The Women in Tech podcast is an independent production funded by you, the community. To support Women in Tech, if you believe in the vision as much as we do, please consider going to womenintechpodcast.com. That's womenintechpodcast.com, and just click on the contribution link to keep this podcast going. Thank you.